Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. You know, it is a real shame that we don't have anything to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking with Hockey Night in Canada, Scott Oak. We're going to talk about the just-announced return-to-play plan, and we're also going to talk a little University of Alabama Huntsville hockey. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville. And, of course, I'm telling you, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, the great service, great selection, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. And, of course, our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host, former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, and the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Zach McCann. Boys, we got a plan.
Yes, Virginia, there will be a hockey season.
It does appear we are going to complete this series. We have a plan. Gary Bettman, at about a couple hours ago, came out and laid out actually a lot more detail than I expected. Just real short and simple. 24 teams right into the playoffs. Bottom 16 teams play each other in a best of five play-in. Top eight teams play a round robin prep to take on the winners of those other series.
And they will determine seeding. I mean, it's
and
not
it
for
will,
nothing.
And it will determine seeding, which we can complain about, but okay. Two hub cities. Neither one of them, Nashville, Tennessee, and I can't say I'm completely surprised by that. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm not even going to try and describe the draft.
So if a train leaves Boston going 35 miles an hour,
with a first-round draft pick on it.
Exactly. Okay. And then they lose in the five-game playoff, and the astrological sign is Gemini at night, then I believe they qualify for a 25% chance to have a 17% chance at the second-round pick of the 2031 draft, which thusly, then, if you carry the two, moves on to the 2021 draft.
You don't want me in the Gemini because I'm a Gemini. You don't want anything to do with that.
I'm a Pisces. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, basically, bottom line is this. The 15 teams that would not have made the playoffs. So, in other words, you've got the seven teams that aren't playing. They're done. By the way, I buried the lead. The regular season's done.
Yep.
Completely done now. We know who won the Art Ross. We know who won the Jennings. All the awards are there. Now, for the draft, the seven teams that didn't make the playoffs have the highest chances of get the top three seeds. They're going to do some sort of draw.
There's three different draws, apparently. And
there's
placeholders involved for the teams that might lose in the play. Again, it's super complicated, but at the same time, top thing to know is if you're in the bottom 15 teams in the league, you have a crack at the first overall pick.
If one of those bottom seven teams don't get it in the first draw.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyway, so, and there's a test later, gang, and I'm telling you, if you get it, you automatically get a 1600 on your SAT. So, Brent, I mean, how do you do this now? You've got to come on, and you basically have to burn from bar one. First game out is going to be a playoff game.
Well, the only thing that I can say about that is that it is the same for everybody, but do you want to have a bye and have to play for just seeding, or do you want to be one of the teams that, like, we're right in the middle of both things, and we ended up with Arizona, who gives us fits as we're going to talk about later on as we go along here. They give us just fits every time they play, even without Mike Smith. And Mike Smith's out in Edmonton now.
Yeah,
so.
But there's a nice little chip to get off the franchise's shoulder, though, you know.
Yeah,
kind of similar to 17.
That's true, but it's just, I don't know how they're going to only have two hubs and have 12 teams in each hub and have enough room in the the bowl area or whatever, the underneath the bowl where they right. the dressing rooms and that, and have 12 teams working at it. It's going to be a constant. Of course, they're only going to have 50 people per team, maybe with the doctors and the trainers and the players and that. There'll only be about 50 people with the team, so that's still a lot of people wandering around. But
Here's the other thing you might want to look at as well, though. If you look at some of the cities that are involved in this, if you look at Philadelphia, if you look at Chicago, you look at Los Angeles, these are multi-professional franchise buildings.
Right.
So they would have four locker rooms basically set up to be able to handle that kind of, you know.
But 12?
Well, again, you only need two at a time. The other two are getting cleaned while you're using them. I mean, you know.
Let's hope it's that way, and you can use it, but there's only going to be one hub in the west and one hub in the east.
Right.
And that's going to be interesting to see who they pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where there's no perfect solutions, but right. I think they picked maybe the least bad one. I think it's kind of the best way to look at it.
I don't disagree with that because, I mean, if you look at it this way, you know, you can do it two ways. You can have one team with one hub with a morning game and an afternoon game.
Right,
you have a late afternoon game. You have one hub with an early afternoon game and a night game. You can run them every night. So, I mean, you flip it back and forth if you want, depending on what NBC wants, when in their, you know, in the software. Because let's face it, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pure software. If you enjoyed watching the match over the weekend with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, if you've enjoyed watching the fanless NASCAR, it's going to be pretty close to what you're going to see.
And, I mean, Gary Bettman came out and said that they're going to be experimenting with some new broadcast techniques in order to enhance this experience for fans to watch. So I think this is, you know, the phrase that everyone's sick of, and I know we're ready to return to precedented times, but in these unprecedented times, you're going to see some new stuff, and look no further than just the format in general.
Right.
If you're, in the immortal words of Michael Keaton in 1989's Batman, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, though, this is something that, I'm sorry, but again, it's an ill wind that doesn't blow some good. When this league goes to 32 teams, the 24 team playoffs are coming.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
For sure. Kenny Holland in Detroit's been begging for years to do that, and he was at first place overall, and he didn't have to worry about it. To get 8 and 9 to play each other, or 9 and 10 to play each other, to a playing game, that's coming for sure. Whether it's a best of three, a one gamer, or a three gamer, or a five gamer, it's coming. You're right, and it's going to be here, and it's sooner or later. So we might as well try it out this year and see how it works.
I mean, every other sport does some form of wild card play-in type game. I mean, the NFL does it, the MLB does it. So why wouldn't they do it in the NHL?
And the interesting piece of this becomes, you see, but here's what I don't. I think it actually they're going to add another round. I think you're going to end up with a best of five.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, could you go back, you know, go back to the 80s, Coach. I mean, when, you know, they were best of threes. Those things were insane, those miniseries.
And the race down the stretch, too, was insane. Everybody was selling out and everybody was excited about their team because they might have been in ninth place, but they had a chance to be in the top eight. And that's what you need. You need more parity. We got good parity in our league now. More chances to get in. That's exactly right.
Well, we're certainly going to talk more about this with Scott Oak in our next segment because there is plenty to unpack in this. I'm really curious to see what the plan, though, is going to be when somebody tests positive. That's what I'm really...
Well, I don't think he was going to come up with that today, but you're right. They have to have something. I was going to say that just a minute ago. What if one person has it? Is he going to be quarantined and taken out and just... And then everybody retested again?
Well, they said they're going to test everyone every evening.
Well, then they'll keep it going then. They won't just shut her down again.
And perhaps, but this is where I think the two hub city thing may turn around and bite you in the butt.
Yep.
I mean, because I was actually thinking that it would have been a good idea to not worry about the hub cities. Because if you think about it, You had eight series going on right now. The only issue would be getting back and forth to, you know, Vancouver, Edmonton, you know, Toronto. I mean, getting back and forth there. That could absolutely have been the stopper on this. But if you look at it, you had, you know, you can put two teams two cities. Everybody gets their homes. And it just, to me, it seems like if one or two players get test and test positive, to me, it could almost take care of the entire 12 teams.
I don't even think you need to worry about the two cities for each round. I mean, if there's no fans, then is there really even a home field advantage?
No, there's not.
So at that rate, you're going to have both teams in quarantine anyway. It's just a matter of if you know the city a little better for the hotel room that you're staying in.
I mean, and let's face it. I mean, if you're really going to look at this, considering there's no gate happening in these playoffs, which is honestly the difference between making money and not making money for probably 95% of the National Hockey League teams. Okay, so here's where the hub makes perfect sense. No travel, no back and forth. You're reducing your costs as far as that goes. You have one building. I mean, it makes sense.
You can go back and forth from east to west every other night have two games going on or three games going on in a daytime. So
I have to say, there is a certain amount of irony that we're playing Arizona in a time where no one can go out. I'm sure you wish that was the case back when we were playing them last time, right, Coach?
You know what?
By then, they might have the bars open by then.
You know what? The irony there is so thick you could cut it with a knife. And you know what? They've been with us since day one of the show, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. And honestly, if you hear me stumble over a word or two, they did some great dental work for me this afternoon. The Novocaine is just starting to wear off. So this could get interesting tonight, folks. But I'm telling you what a great experience. I was telling both Zach and I always put you two together, Zach and Brent earlier, that, you know, one of the marks of a good dentist to me is someone that can make it so much less painful. And I've always hated the Novocaine shots. And, you know, Dr. Bacon just did an amazing job. No pain whatsoever. She absolutely earned her nickname of No Pain Jane today. And I thank her for taking such good care of me. They do offer all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. And no, they didn't need to knock me out today. I wish they had. No, I'm kidding. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment. 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Nice. Very nice. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brent Peterson, Zach McCann, Paul McCann coming at you. And you know what? Actually, we set this up a couple of weeks ago, and it was a real good case of ESP going on right now. Who knew what information would break today? But we got the perfect guy to talk about it with. From Hockey Night in Canada, longtime host of the second game of Hockey Night in Canada, ringside reporter for Sportsnet. I'm telling you, an all-around great guy. Got to meet him in the 2017 finals. He's been kind enough to come on the show almost every year. He is Scott Oak. Scott, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Paul. But one qualifier here. You said I was the perfect guy to talk about today's news. I'm still trying to figure out how the draft is going to go. Seems almost like there's some algorithm required there.
Well, actually, Scott, you
the
may
rest
want to.
Of it actually is fascinating.
You may want to listen to the first segment of the show because I think Zach had it figured out. It's some kind of cross between the Pythagorean theorem and an old train joke because the train left Chicago with a first round draft pick. That's how it started,
yeah.
and I think
time
it made
does
sense.
It arrive? I get it. Yeah, you know what. The NHL, I think, in both circumstances, the playoffs and the draft, making the best of a bad situation. Certainly, there are people who will not be satisfied. That's the way it goes in all matters like this. But it is, as I say, the best of a bad situation. I think the playoffs are going to be thrilling.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. But I'm asking everyone that comes on, we're talking about it a little bit later, but you get to answer this first. What do you really like about this plan? And what do you really hate about it?
What I like about it is that it's wide open. Anything can happen. It will be, as you said, in one simple word, it will be a blast. What I guess I would be concerned about if I was the Pittsburgh Penguins playing Montreal in the first round and the Canadiens are 15 points behind. There could be some bad feelings there if Montreal is able to pull off an upset, because people would argue, obviously, that Montreal shouldn't have been in contention for the Cup given they were that far behind. But again, because the season was truncated, this is the best the NHL can do, and I like it.
I don't think you'll find a lot of sympathy in Nashville for the plight of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's just a funny feeling. I'm not sure. We're on the line with Hockey Night in Canada's Scott Oak. Brett Peterson.
Hi, Scott. I'm really interested in the Hub City and the way Gary Bettman said it today. They're going to have one in the East and one in the West. What's the criteria to be a Hub City? Or what is? I know they had nine cities named today, but they're going to get down to two, I guess. Is that right?
That's the plan. So 12 teams in each of the cities. The criteria would be something, I think, like what the city of Edmonton could offer, which is a large facility with a practice rink attached and a skywalk to the hotel that clearly will have a lot of availability given COVID-19 and rooms vacant everywhere. So a situation like that would be appealing to the NHL. But then again, they'll have to overcome this 14-day quarantine rule in Canada if a Canadian team is even to be considered. So one in the East, one in the West. If it was Edmonton in the West, I'm not sure who would be in the East. Could be Toronto, but clearly it's not going to be two Canadian cities, so another team in the U.S. But those are the criteria, basically. The ability to quarantine the players, keep them together, and not have them mixed with the general public, et cetera, for everybody's safety.
You know, Scott, some fascinating news that got lost in the shuffle with everything breaking today was when the NHLPA held their vote, there were two teams that voted against it, Tampa Bay and Carolina. What do you make of those no votes from those two clubs?
I don't see it as a great division within the membership of the NHL Players Association. They're all committed to wanting to play again, and I think both the player reps from Carolina and Tampa Bay made that clear. I mean, Carolina was concerned that if they have to, win five rounds to get to the Stanley Cup, it's not fair, or to win the Cup, it's not fair. And Tampa Bay was, I think, of the opposite mind. Alex Killorn said they were concerned that the warm-ups or round-robin games, as announced today, would be absent of the intensity required to get them up to speed. But overall, given I'm repeating myself, but the NHL making the best of a bad situation, I'd say those are minor concerns, and I don't see the votes against as them being a major split or representing a major split in the NHLPA. Not at all.
It's Slapshot Radio with Scott Oak from Hockey Night in Canada joining us tonight. Scott, one of the things that I really find fascinating about this, and of course, if you think back to hockey back in the old, Patrick Division days, that best of three series that we used to have, this best of five, getting to play somebody from a bye, I know it's going to be fun. But that's another thing that I look at and go, wow, that bye, I think, is going to hurt more than help, even though if they're doing a round robin.
Well, I guess that's the essential concern the Tampa Bay Lightning had.
Yeah,
so,
really.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you would say is not one of the best features of this 2014 playoff. But it's, again, making the best of a bad situation. I'm not sure what alternative there was if you want to go on percentage points as the NHL is to accumulate or to comprise the 2014 field. What else could they do? So I get it.
So, Scott, I'm sure your bosses at Sportsnet are having this very same conversation right now. But with 12 teams in two cities, what do you see as ways to make this new broadcast exciting without the prospect of having fans in the building?
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, there's talk about piped-in crowd noise, and you've seen in the German Soccer League, there are, cardboard cutouts in the stands. And, wasn't there my dog's barking here. We're at the cottage, and a boat's going by. But wasn't it a Korean baseball team or something that put sex dolls?
Yes.
and had to apologize. I don't think the NHL is going to opt for that. I'll take a flyer and say they won't be doing that.
I just thought they looked surprised.
For is how the broadcast will be presented. The absence of the crowd is going to be huge. What's the first thing we say when a team opens a playoff series on the road? Score first, take the crowd out of it. That will no longer clearly be a concern. But you know, that said, it's a level playing field. Basically, no home, no away team. So the broadcast, I think, will be compelling because, first of all, it's a return to hockey, and we all want. I certainly welcome it, and I think a lot of other people do too. We've got to get back to a sense of normalcy. The NHL is really the first major pro sports league to come up with a plan to return to action, and I think the broadcast will be highly watched. I expect huge ratings.
The other thing that I think we'll probably have to look at is at least a 7-second delay because normally, the crowd noise covers a multitude of sins and creative language. This could really be interesting if you're hearing exactly what's being said and happening on the ice.
Well, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, we were talking about openings that we do and whatever rinks are done in different places. But for example, if it was Calgary, it's one level up. And if I'm on there bellowing out an opening, I'd be doing it like I'm a golf commentator on the 18th green because I'd be afraid the players are going to hear me. But I don't know if guys who do my job will even be allowed in the venues. That's still to be determined. They're trying to keep it, obviously, to a bare and safe minimum. So it's entirely possible that the broadcast crews will be working out of, you know, a centralized location, calling it off tube. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, and they'll have as few people, certainly members of the media, in the venues as possible.
Well, it is certainly going to be, as the old Chinese curse says, that may you live in interesting times. So we are certainly in those right now. Scott, thank you so much for taking time away from your holiday to join us. We certainly appreciate it. All the best to you and your family, and stay safe. Okay.
Hey, this holiday has gone on entirely too long. And for all the times that I ever whined because the series could have been over in five and I could have got home between rounds, but it went seven, I want to take this opportunity to apologize to everybody that ever might have heard me say that. And when the game comes back, if they're playing games at 1 in the morning on the August-long weekend, I'll be there happily.
Amen. Great. Amen. Thanks, Scott. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Take care. That's Scott Oak from Hockey Night in Canada joining us. Really, really good guy. Really, really good guy. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit of University of Alabama Huntsville hockey. And one more time, it's from off ice, but we're going to see what we can do to help. We'll be back in just a minute right here on Slapshot Radio. Max, not bad, not bad. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. Brent Peterson, Zach McCann, Paul McCann coming at you. I'm going to turn away from the NHL for just a minute. I want to promote something right now because as you guys know, you know, a couple of the shows here on 102.5 The Game have really been behind college hockey in the South. And props to Justin Bradford and Penalty Box Radio, man. They do a great job in covering college hockey. And honestly, we were involved in it about 6 years back when this first happened, when the University of Alabama Huntsville hockey team was in danger of not having a conference, was in danger of folding. As a matter of fact, an interim president came in and said, you know what, no. That's it. We're not doing hockey anymore at the University of Alabama Huntsville. Alumni rose up, fans rose up, and saved the program. Well, history does repeat itself because last Friday, an interim president, one more time, and this is what galled me more than anything else, used the pandemic as the reason that they had to cut men's and women's tennis and men's hockey, the only Division I sport at University of Alabama Huntsville, still one of the most southernmost D1 hockey programs in the NCAA. And one more time, Save UAH Hockey is back. And I want to point your attention, please, if you like hockey in the South, Huntsville is honestly the originator of the hockey city of the South. when Huntsville was a rocket city, when there was so much going on in NASA in the 40s and 50s, there was a huge German influence. And what did they bring with them? Hockey. It has been big in Huntsville the entire time. They do a great Silver Stick program down there. There's lots of good stuff going on there. And UAH has been part of it. They've been a power, except for the last few years. They just haven't been that good. They're really trying to see how they can turn this program in a different direction. So, since the announcement on Friday, over a holiday weekend, everyone coalesced. There's a GoFundMe out there. It's been up for about 35 hours. There's already $120,000 into it. They need to raise $500,000 by the end of the week. If that happens, they're able to save the program. The university has agreed to create an advisory board consisting of hockey alumni, local business leaders, and major donors to help turn UAH hockey into a world-class hockey program, which, quite frankly, Huntsville deserves. I mean, so when you look at this, go to GoFundMe, please. GoFundMe.com/UAH hockey. You can find it there. If you can kick a couple of bucks in, great. If you want to put a message of support on there. But it's a great place to go down and see a hockey game. The Von Braun Center is a lot of fun. And honestly, the student body is great, especially when they do the world's longest hockey cheer. And they spell out University of Alabama Huntsville one letter at a time. Begins with about 5 minutes to go in the second period and ends with about 18 minutes to go in the third. But it's a lot of fun. If you've never been down there to a game, you need to do it. But please, get out there and support Charger Hockey. Get behind them. This is something that really needs to happen. So GoFundMe.com, look for UAH Hockey on it, and get out there and, you know, join 400 of your fellow Southern Hockey fans. There are Bemidji State fans, and if you know UAH Hockey, those two schools hate each other. Bemidji State fans are donating $20-$30, just saying, because they don't want to find another rival. They want to keep hating UAH. So if you get a chance, get over there. And I just want to see Division I hockey continue in the South. I think it's important.
Not only that, I think this is your launching pad for other programs. You take this program away, you give every other person who says hockey doesn't work in the South from a college perspective ammunition. And frankly, shame on the administration at the University of Alabama Huntsville for just pathetically using this as an excuse. You show me a problem in the world and I'll show you an opportunist. And that's really the most disgusting part of the entire thing.
And
honestly,
it's another interim president doing it. Same thing happened, you know, the last time they tried to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a shame. But I think
it's interesting, you know, everyone who's listening out there, this isn't your responsibility, and it's a shame that it came to this, but thank you for stepping up in these times.
That's right. Absolutely. Sure. I mean, having a and here's the thing. When you look at the University of Alabama Huntsville, I mean, first off, you know, a couple of names that you might recognize, there were a couple of Jeffreon boys that played for him. A couple of Danny's sons played for UAH. And, oh, by the way, the starting goaltender for the Calgary Flames played at the University of Huntsville. When you've got, you know, this is good stuff. And it's 28 more scholarships, 28 more opportunities for players to build into potential NHL or a potential AHL talent.
And the hockey's grown so much in the U.S. now, you can get you don't have to get the lesser players or the big stars. You might get the big stars going to Wisconsin and Boston College and Boston University, but you can still get a coach and a recruiter in here that can bring good players to here and be better than that, because the number of players in the United States is really growing a lot to play hockey, and it's a great sport, and everybody should support it best they can. It's just sad that you have administrators like that.
Well, it's 41 years of history about to go down the drain, and I hope we don't allow that to happen. So I'm going to climb off my soapbox now, and let's go back.
Especially to blame it on the
that's the thing that just got under my skin something fierce. Yeah. It's just like, oh, please, really? I mean, you know, come on. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit now. I'd like to turn the attention to a more Nashville-centric, because even though we don't know when the playoffs are going to start, even though we don't know when the pre-camp is going to start, we already know who the first-round opponent is.
Yes.
And it's the Arizona Coyotes. Many people remember You know, going back to 2015, was it?
That was Radulov Gate.
Yes. Yes.
Prodigal bread.
Yes, indeed. You know, between him and AK-47 and a few others. Yeah, this is it brings actually, back some sour memories, quite frankly.
Actually, before we get into the Phoenix thing and or the Arizona thing, it really poor Rad. He was just a lost soul back then. He was a young kid who just didn't have any. And Barry tried his best to talk to him every day about something new that he had to add to his life skills, and he just didn't get it yet. And he was just following along with Andre. Mm-hmm. You know, and Sergey was home in bed that night.
Yep,
it was Andre and him, and Darren Pang came to me and says, "Petey, a couple of your boys were there at like 11:30 at night, and perfect was midnight. Well, there's no way unless you get a jet or you
get from Scottsdale to Glendale.
You get to Scottsdale to Glendale." And so I told Barry, so we did what we thought was right. Well, we made a mistake in game three. We suspended him for game three. We should have brought him back in game four. We suspended him again because we won game three.
Sure.
But we should have brought at least Rad's back. And even if Andre was, you know, he, you know.
Yeah.
But we should have brought him back, and that's a mistake we made because Rad's might have been the – we needed a score that night. Remember, Smitty stood on his head, and it was 1-0 game or 2-1 game or something like that. And that's, and then we went back there and lost. So Rad was just a lost boy right back then, a little immature and emotionally immature for his age. And so he just – but he loves hockey, and he's a great kid, and he's not a bad person at all.
Oh, not at all.
I just want everybody to think I'm
Oh,
right
no, 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 no.
I still have a Radulov jersey at home.
That's right.
I mean, you know.
I didn't want everybody to think I was raising
Oh, gosh, no. No, no. I mean, look, we've all made the fireball jokes. We've all made, you know, all of that stuff. You know, but it's fascinating that, you know, series turns on things like that.
For sure.
You know, and it honestly, I mean, you saw that happen there. But as you look back on this, as you look back on the, you know, on how the team reacted, and how his teammates reacted, and you knew after then that, you know, this team was done, and you saw the cracks, and that was, you know, was it a, you know, you look at a couple of things. Was it a good idea to, you know, was it a good idea to bring him back or a bad idea to bring him back? Was it a good idea to bring in AK or not? I mean, you know, and hindsight being 2020, you probably say no to both.
Right. Over the years, I mean, Peter had some good teams here, but we had that team was one of the best we ever had as our coaching staff. But and it was just a good team, and we blew out Detroit in 5 games.
Yep.
And then we just went down there, and we went into double overtime, or a single overtime, one of the two, and we lost game one. And we cracked right in half right there by losing game one, just thinking, oh, here we go. And then Rads goes out, and him and
break silly.
Yep. And they get silly. And so.
But bringing it back to, you know, the now, boy, what an important play-in series for multiple reasons. Because not only are you looking at the Arizona Coyotes, a team who has given the Preds fits for a few years now, you're also looking at another division rival in the next 2 years.
Coming up.
So once Seattle comes into the league, Arizona moves to the Central Division. So you're already building some history with a upcoming division rival against a young team with a lot of players who you're going to see for a long time.
Oh, heck, avoid the 2022 rush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hate them now.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, you know, you mentioned losing that overtime in game one. You know, game ones are critical in any playoff series. I think the stat is like 72% of people who win game one go on to win the series at that rate. Boy, I think it becomes that much more important in a 5-game playoff.
Well, Habs drafted 5 games, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, we're going to talk much, much more about this. We've got plenty to chat on this one, that's for sure. Hey, I do want to tell you real quick about our good friend Carter Church over at White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group. Carter is back in full force, man. He's got open houses going. He's setting up appointments. I'm telling you, he's a heck of a guy. You got to check him out. He's your real estate expert with White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group. He's got the marketing experience to get your home sold in this fast-paced market, or quite frankly, find you the deal. Find you the hidden gem that's out there. You need to give him a call at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, and we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. We just got it started, and I mean, you know, we got 2.5 months to talk about this one.
one game.
We got 2.5 months.
Opening night.
We're opening night here. But again, I do want to talk about this Arizona series.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, look, I love the fact that, you know, this is a team that, you know, Nashville would love to beat in the playoffs. Absolutely love that. The fans will remember it more. I think there's only a couple players left from that Arizona
Renee
team.
Renee is probably the only player left from that Renee
and
Hand
you know
use.
And that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, actually, that Renee is the one to remember it. Mm-hmm. Because we were talking during the commercial, and let's go ahead and bring it into the show right now. I mean, you know, the first question that comes up, because, you know, we were talking about, does this break benefit an older team? And I think in the first round, it absolutely does.
Well,
there's a benefit to
Preds
it.
Preds are one of the oldest teams in the league.
That's one of them. But here's the other thing. I believe it also gives, you know, it gives an older player with experience, with knowledge, the ability to press the reset button. And I think for a player, coach for a player like Pecorine, I think that's a player that takes full advantage of something like this.
You're right. And UC's been the guy to that they went to, but now it's been 8 weeks or whatever, 11 weeks we have been out, and
right.
maybe Peck is the right guy. So it's going to be a tough, tough decision for the coaches. This is going to be a real tough one. Zach said, the goaltending is the most important thing in a short playoff series and even a full series. And is Peck the guy or is UC the guy? So everybody, you know, UC played, he had 2 shutouts his last 2 games.
Absolutely.
But he's had 11 weeks off. So yeah.
He's got the hot hand. Don't worry.
I think UC Saros is a phenomenal goaltender. I think that it's going to be fascinating to watch him and Connor Ingram duke it out in the future for future starter of this team. But there is no doubt in my mind that you play Pecorine in game one.
I kind of agree with that. And again, that's no slight to UC Saros.
Not
but,
at all.
But here's the thing. And I think New York Ranger fans are going through this as well because, I mean, they've got a couple of hot young goaltenders in the gun right now. But do you start one of these youngsters in the playoffs? Or do you give a well-rested Henrik Lundqvist, you know, the starter's not? I don't know.
There is no right answer here, and it's one of those things that you are going to have. This is get ready, Pred Nation, because this is your new Cali Yarn Croaker, James Neal. And I'm sorry that we're
right.
going through this again, but you're going to have two sides on who should start. In my mind, you go with the elder statesman, Pecorine. You go with the person who has playoff experience, the one who is used to this kind of stage. But there is something to be said as well for starting UC Saros in a time like this where you have no idea what's going on. Why not see if the kid can do something? Because really, you're playing with house money at this rate. If you're out, you have a chance at the number one pick. And hey, I'd love to see Alex Lafreniere in gold.
Wouldn't that be interesting? but you make a really good point. There's no question about that. I mean, but I look at it and coach, you know, get behind the bench right now. You start Pecorine, but in a 5-game series, the leash is pretty doggone short.
That's exactly right. And everything happens faster, and all the stats go out the board because. I mean, they had a great penalty kill all year. We might score, and we had a poor power play, one of the last in the league, and we might get 3 power play goals the first night.
Who knows?
So it all goes out the window, and you could be right. If you're right and you pick Pekka, that's hard to say.
Pick a Pekka, pickle peppers.
If you pick Pekka, he's the guy, and then you have to go to UC. It's either did it too late or something, or you should have started. Everybody says you should have started UC. If UC goes in there and fails, and then you have to put Pekka in, or you should have started Pekka. So you're not going to win no matter what. So the coach is going to do what he wants to do, what he thinks is right, and you have to have input from your assistant coaches and from the GM and that. But Pekka Rene, he's already come out in the paper and says I want a chance of being the number one again. I want to show everybody that they were wrong about me this year. I had a poor year or an off year, not a poor year, but an off year.
Pekka with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Hey, I think between him, players like Ryan Johansson, I think this is an awesome chance for him to recapture, because that's been the thing about rewatching the 2017 run. You look at the dominance of the Jofa line.
Yeah.
And looking at that, if you're John Hines, I don't know how you don't start
game
one
with
them reunited.
They were so good. Arvidsson was a dangerous every single shift. Every shift he was out there. They dominated the Chicago Blackhawks, the number one
They dominated Chicago. They dominated St. Louis. They dominated Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at that, I mean, honestly, the only place, I mean, look, the only I look at it from a starter's perspective, you put the Jofa line back together, you look at Rene and Net, unless you're playing in Pittsburgh. Other than that, I'm saying go ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm John Hines, you have Jofa as your first line, Duchesne, Granlund, Turris as your second line, leave your American line number three. And then you have some facsimile of Sissons, Yarncroke, and either Watson, Blackwell, or Trenin. In my mind, it would be Trenin.
Trenin, yeah.
On your fourth.
Early, yeah.
I mean,
I agree. That's really good ideas.
And you also want to figure you've got some black aces that are going to be, you know, there as well.
Yeah, some players who can really challenge for lineup spots, because I think injuries are going to be a colossal factor during these playoffs.
You're right. Pulled groins,
things like that. Who stayed in shape the best?
Here's where I like the Predators' chances, because for my mind, you look down the league and you look at scoring totals. No team had more scorers in double digits than Nashville in the Western Conference. You look at that kind of depth, and when you have situations like this where you're going to have injuries, you're going to have catastrophic injuries to your best players. Accept it now. It is going to happen. And if you have that kind of depth that can come in and play, you're Colin Blackwell. Your Yakov Trenins, your Eli Tolvanens, who is a colossal X factor, I think, during all of this.
Your Rem Pitlicks.
Exactly.
There's a number of players, and we talked about this with Aaron a couple of weeks ago. There's a number of players, I think, that, again, you know, when we start talking UFAs come October, this is going to be really weird. I mean,
hope David has his calendar all ready to go.
I mean, you just got to move
over. Trade deadline.
Yeah, you just got to move it back. I mean, because honestly, this is what it's looking like. I mean, if they get camp started, you know, in July, and they get the season going by the last week of July, okay?
I mean,
the season doesn't end until close to Halloween. No, I'm sorry. Wait, I'm wrong. August, September, until close to the beginning of October.
I mean, at that rate, are you opening the year with the Winter Classic? Because I think that would be awesome.
Well,
they were talking 55 days from the end of the season to the next one for next year. So
is it 55 from last game to first game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at that point, you can get. Let's say you give the cup last week of September.
Well, last game to next training camp.
Training camp. Yeah. Okay, so that would be, so training camp would start right before Christmas. Interesting.
Be long, and then they'll finish and then they can do what you want to do and go from January to August every year.
You know what?
It's in Minnesota.
I honestly don't have a problem with playing later in. You're looking at somebody that kind of agrees with Brian Burke. Who says that we should move hockey to the Summer Olympics? Right. I mean, that's what we did with basketball. I mean, it's an indoor. It's an indoor sport. You want to talk? I mean, I love that idea. Don't shut the league down. Do it in off season.
And boy, don't you think that the players playing ball with this playoff format gives them a little bit of leverage in wanting to go back to the Olympics for the next CBA?
Of course it does. And here's the thing. Sure. You got to give, you know, it's funny. You can draw the comparison right now. You draw the comparison with what's going on in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where, you know, a guy making $39 million a year is mad that he's only going to make 14 this year. Really? But now you've got, you know, you can compare and contrast that to the National Hockey League right now, where the PA and the ownership seems to be getting along. Who could have ever thought that happened of a Don Fehr led league? PA
motivated by money too, but
of course, but
they at least they're getting along and they're talking there.
But here's the thing: you're right, though. This is going to be a major leverage point. I'm going to want to play in the Olympics. And here's the other thing. If you have an Olympic year, then instead of starting the season on January 1, you started on December 1, and you take the month off at the Olympic break.
Yep.
Just happens, and it's early in the season. Doesn't hurt near as much as it does where it's positioned.
And players
right now
will be used to that break because they just had 11 weeks off.
Exactly. I mean, it's fascinating.
It writes itself.
This whole thing is really generating some interesting side effects.
Yeah.
It's a good way of putting it because when you look at it, I mean, look, this team wants 24. This team wants a 24-team playoff. This league wants that. Yeah. And when Seattle comes in, 24 is going to happen. And I mean, so this makes it really, really interesting to play with it a little bit to see how this is going to work. I mean, it's really going to be a fascinating experiment, and you can kind of use it and get away with it this time.
Yep.
Well, you've just wasted another hour.
We keep wasting
hours. I'm telling you, we waste a lot of hours. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next Monday night at 7 p.m. A big thank you to our guest, Scott Oak from Hockey Night in Canada. And, of course, our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, The Andrews Group, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. Hey, when you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Max, our co-hosts, Brett Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.